Savings at Jay's Pub and Grill in Reedsburg. Experience the heart of Wisconsin at this beloved eatery, featuring a family-friendly vibe, a traditional Friday fish fry, and locally produced wines and craft beers. Enjoy a delicious lunch with options like wraps, Angus burgers, and salads, or savor a hearty dinner featuring steaks, seafood, and pasta. Go to maxfmbigdeals.com and purchase $25 gift certificates for just $12.50. Today only at MaxFM Big Deals.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. Boeing's 30,000 union machinists voted overnight to strike.
Seattle-based Boeing had laid out an offer that would have raised salaries by 25% over 4 years. But machinist Francis King says that doesn't match the cost of living.
Second, third year, they want to do a 4% gross wage increase. That's inflation. That's what the inflation rate's at.
After the overnight vote... In a statement, the plane maker says it's committed to resetting its relationship with its employees and is ready to resume negotiations. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Ukraine on the agenda as British Prime Minister Keir Starmer visits President Biden at the White House today. They're considering loosening restrictions on Kyiv using Western missiles to strike deeper into Russia. President Trump now rejecting offers for another debate. Meanwhile, he's outlining a new tax plan. Overtime would be tax-free. Vice President Kamala Harris and Trump back on the campaign trail, opposite sides of the country today. Trump in California, Nevada, Harris in Pennsylvania. This is ABC News.
From the SSM Health News Center, this is Max News with Jim Finn.
The Wisconsin Dells middle school counselor that was charged with sexual assault of a student has been fired. 32-year-old Corey Alfaro was fired in a unanimous vote by the school board on Monday evening following a closed session. Alfaro was charged with second-degree sexual assault of a child for alleged incidents involving a 13-year-old girl at the school dating back to December of 2023. He was being held at the Columbia County Jail on a $40,000 bond. His termination was announced on Tuesday afternoon. For Max FM News, I'm Jim Finn.
Max FM, Jim City Weather.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, a high near 83. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 62. Winds will be out of the east at about 10 to 15 miles per hour. For Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs around 84. Saturday night, showers and storms, and a low around 62. Grandpa's barbecue sauce is perfect for grilling anytime. GrandpasBBQShop.com.
It's 57 at our studios.
99.7 Max FM.
I'm celebrities, and more.
Love Jack.
You say, oh, tainted love.
99.7 Max FM.
Oh, people.
Naughty by Nature, there is OPP, maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more, 99.7 Max FM. Of course, KG is part of the group, Finn, celebrating his 55th birthday this weekend. So if you get to say that, then I just figure like on a Friday, we should all be down with OPP.
Exactly.
It's how you start a Friday, getting down with the OPP. Plus, that's just a good song. It's a fun one. I feel like that could start any day on a high note, and we'd be okay with it. Now, let me ask you a question. Are you the type of person that when you're talking to somebody, you have to ask them to repeat things? I mean, I guess it depends on who it is, if they're mumbling, if the room is loud.
What did you say?
Exactly. Now, I'm glad you said it just like that, because this is great. Because what's the most common response when you say something? Yes, no, I don't know. Or what did you say? That's one of the top ones. At least according to new research, the average person says, what did you say to someone else 3 times a week, which is about 21 times a week, 91 times a month, and 1,095 times per year. Now, obviously, there are several reasons why we have to ask people to repeat themselves. You know, whether you have hearing issues, maybe we didn't follow what was being said, maybe we just weren't listening, which is pretty much what I do to my family all the time. And then I realized that I should probably pay closer attention because I probably just committed to something that I don't want to commit to. Or, you know, we're buying time to come up with an actual answer. Now, if they couldn't hear, the average person will ask you for it to be repeated at least twice before giving up on understanding and just pretending to have been heard.
Well, I mean, that's what the teenagers are doing, right?
Yes.
I mean, you ask them 50 million times and they pretend that they don't hear, but they're hearing, but they pretend that they don't, right?
Right, exactly. And sometimes, you know, as a parent, we've got that selective hearing. I mean, I'm sure you did this. Five boys at one point in the house, right? Where you're like listening to what they say and you want to be engaged, but you're also trying to do something else. So it's like a passive listening thing. And then all of a sudden, something piques your attention where you're like, whoa, what did you just say?
You caught that one.
Yes, exactly. Where you've got to basically like re-engage yourself in the conversation because you know that you probably just committed to something that, you know, see, it's going to get you into a whole lot of trouble and you're going to regret it, or your kid's trying to slip one by you at some given time. So, what did you say? So use that a lot today as you're trying to go through your Friday. And sometimes people will just give up on the conversation at that point. So maybe that's just better on a Friday. Maybe it's way less pressure. We just give up. We move on. We try to get to the weekend smoothly.
Don't make any waves.
That's all we're trying to do here. Now, we've got a couple things we got to talk about. Some fun stuff that's happening here at Max FM, including the opportunity to win some really cool stuff starting Monday morning. Now, we've got our, you know, it's football season, right, Finn? And so we love to celebrate the green and the gold. And so we're actually going to give you a chance to go for the green or for the gold in a statewide texting contest starting Monday morning, 7 a.m. Now, if you don't already have your Civic Media app downloaded, make sure you get that over the weekend. You can get it free at your Android store and your Apple store, and then be listening for the keyword during the 7 o'clock hour on Monday morning. It's your chance to win cash, some gold jewelry, and also a chance to enter into the grand prize drawing, which, are you ready for this? If you're a fan of Wisconsin football, and let's be honest, we're talking about the green and the gold here, you've got an opportunity to go see Green Bay take on New Orleans Monday night, December 23rd, with two indoor club-level seats, which is going to be incredible. Right before the holidays in December, you get to sit inside where it's nice and cushy. And if you've never done those indoor seating things, there's like floor to ceiling windows. It's almost like this panoramic view of the entire field. It's really cool. So you're going to have the opportunity to eat some delicious food, watch probably what we're going to hope is a really great game, and get yourself ready for the holiday season all at the same time. Now, sponsored locally, this is brought to you by Shields Fireside Hearth and Home of Baraboo, State Farm Insurance Agent Chris Stanton in Baraboo, and Saugna Fjord Winery of Wisconsin Dells. But remember, Monday mornings, starting during the 7 o'clock hour, that's going to be your chance to potentially get your name into the drawing for some good stuff. I like giving things away.
Our listeners are on it. I mean, the last time we did one of these text to win statewide contests, they were so on it, so fast.
You guys are going to be great. And I believe we gave away a trip to one of our Baraboo listeners as well. I think Tammy was one of the winners of one of those big trips that we gave away last time. So Monday morning, though, that's when that starts. Now, we also got to talk about saving a whole lot of money because, I mean, we like to celebrate and make sure that, you know, you're keeping plenty of money in your wallet by not only giving you things, but then giving you really great offers over at MaxFMBigDeals.com. We have today's big deal of the day happening right now, and this is one that you can go take advantage of right this very minute. You don't need to wait. In fact, if you wait, this deal is going to be expired because it's only good for today, Finn. It's 50% off Jay's Pub and Grill of Reedsburg. This is a $25 certificate, $12.50 if the math is a little hard for you early on a Friday morning. That's all you're paying today. No promo code needed. You just got to do some shopping, fill your cart with some of those Jay's certificates, and you are on your way to a delicious meal. And let's face it, when you go to Jay's Pub and Grill, Chef Jay, it's a little world class in there. He's got some experience and he's got some good stuff on the menu.
That food is so good, yeah.
It's so good. And then they've got that amazing patio. So if you love these warmer summer days as we head into fall, take advantage of that patio as well. They're open daily, 11 to 9, Monday through Thursday, then 11 to 10, Friday and Saturday, and 11 to 8 on Sundays. And they'll even take your reservations if you're so inclined. Maybe you want to go in there with a bigger party. So they'll help you out at Jay's Pub and Grill. But take advantage, $25 certificate. At $12.50. Now, here's the cool part. Like, this is one of those things that you can get a couple and, like, you know, treat yourself if you just don't want to cook one night, because we all have those moments in time, right? But maybe, you know, you have an anniversary coming up and you want to do a special dinner. Maybe you've got a birthday coming up. You want to do a special dinner for that. Maybe you just want to give somebody a really nice meal out. The certificates make really great gifts. So there's lots of options with this one. Treating yourself, treating somebody else, doesn't matter. Great food at a cheap price. That's MaxFMBigDeals.com, at least today.
Yeah.
With our big deal of the day. Now, we do have to take a look at the forecast, because we are just a few minutes away. I can't believe it already. This morning has gone really quickly. Chris Avila, our Packers expert, is going to be joining us around 8:35-ish or so, depending on how fashionably late I am today, to talk a little bit about the Packers and the Indianapolis Colts Sunday at Lambeau Field. This is the home opener for the Green Bay Packers. That is a noon kickoff. So we're gonna get into all of that this morning. And obviously, this looks like a team that will be sans Jordan Love, as much of us expected, no matter what Matt LaFleur said this week in his press conferences. But your forecast today: partly sunny, 83 for a high, mostly cloudy, down to 62 tonight. Clouds stick around tomorrow with a high near 84. Then we have a chance of showers and thunderstorms tomorrow night, down to 62. Right now, it's 58.
The sounds of polka music and clinking beer steins will ring Saturday, September 21st, as the Baraboo Area Chamber of Commerce presents Oktoberfest at Circus World. Local beer, live music, and pub games will entertain from 3 until 9. Instrumental funk band The Blue Olives are the headliners. Buy admission buttons for $10 in advance at the chamber office or $12 at the door on Saturday, September 21st at Circus World. For information, visit OktoberfestBaraboo.com.
As a dairy farmer from Lodi, I know that Joan Baldwin delivers for Wisconsin farmers, because when our farm faced tough times, Joan stepped up to fight for us. Working to lower taxes, improve rural roads, and secure support for farm programs, Joan Baldwin puts farmers first. So when it comes to protecting my farm and my cows, I trust Joan Baldwin. She's always stood with us. Now let's stand with her. Vote Joan Baldwin for State Senate. Paid for by Volunteers for Agriculture, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's agent or committee.
Get ready to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, 2 indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, September 16th. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station.
We tend not to think about right now, but right now in front of us is victory over cancer. Right now, cancer research funded by the V Foundation is leading to better treatments and saving lives. When you give to the V Foundation, 100% of your donation goes directly to game-changing cancer research. Victory over cancer is there for the taking by you. Donate at V.org, because today's cancer research is tomorrow's victory.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
It's 8:21 right now. Thank you so much for joining us on this Friday. We hope you are having a great start to your day, just a few hours before the weekend. Feels pretty good to say those words out loud, doesn't it? Here's Joan Jett and the Blackhearts on Max FM. I saw him dancing there by the record machine. I knew he must have been about 17. He was strong.
It's all the same. So can I take you home where we can be alone? Next we're moving on. He was with me, yeah, me. Next we're moving on. He was with me.
And more. 99.7 Max FM.
Tears for Fears, there is Shout. Maximum hits of the 80s, 90s, and more. 99.7 Max FM. It is 8:28 right now. And Finn, you know, it is a Friday, but we always like to end in the morning with some calendar days because there's always something to celebrate as we go about a weekend. And I feel like any chance we get to celebrate something, we got to do it. So let's take a look at what we got and what we can kind of dig into this weekend. I love this. It's 9 by 13 inch day. We're talking baking pans here, people, so be careful what you're thinking right away in the morning. But, you know, like your casserole dishes, your cake pans, everybody has them in their kitchen. 9 by 13 day. I love that. That's perfect. It's also, Corey Hartman, I know you're listening this morning on your drive. It's Bald is Beautiful Day. Now, I think you're great, but, you know, every day you complain at me a little bit more about the loss of hair. So if you're a dude out there who's, you know, gotten a little bald, a little thinning up there, Finn, Bald is Beautiful Day. We can all appreciate it. Yes. Let's see. What else do we have on the list? It is also, as I go through, Kids Take Over the Kitchen Day. Well, that's what Dexter does every night about 1 a.m. And then I wake up to lots of surprises in the morning.
Midnight, yes, the post-midnight snack, right?
I'm always like, every morning, I got to tell you what my routine is. Because if I turn on too many lights right away in the morning, Aspen gets all excited, like she's getting up at 4 a.m. Go back to sleep, dog. No, you're not up yet. So I come out into the living room with my flashlight on my phone. And the first thing I do is close my eyes and then aim it towards my kitchen direction. Because I never quite know what I'm going to have out there or what he's going to have dug or what he's going to have left on the counter while he's been digging in the refrigerator that's something that needs to be kept cold. So it's always like this big crapshoot right away in the morning and always a fun surprise. That's how I start out every day, every single morning as I try to come down to our studio to do the morning show. It's awesome stuff. It is also obviously being Friday the 13th, National Defy Superstition Day. Positive Thinking Day is also today. Now we have, it's also Stand Up to Cancer Day. That's a big one. And then we have a few food ones on the list for today. Snack a Pickle Day today. All right. So apparently you're supposed to just go get yourself a delicious pickle and have a good snack. It's also National Peanut Day. So there you go. If you love yourself a good peanut, I would only advise that if you don't have a horrible peanut allergy, and be careful of those around you if you're going to, you know, participate in that particular day. It's also Fortune Cookie Day. Now, again, I've said this before. I think it says more about me than it says about the fortune cookie when usually I get one almost every single time and they're always blank. They're always blank.
Which is so bizarre. I mean, they're not fortunes in there anymore anyway.
I know. But it's just like words of advice, or it's kind of like Alanis Morissette thinking that her song meant ironic. It's kind of like fortune cookies being called fortune cookies now. They're not really that.
Not fortunes.
Then we have a few things happening this weekend as well that we can celebrate. International Drive Your Studebaker Day is tomorrow. So there you go. Get the some of those classic cars, aren't they amazing?
So cool.
They're beautiful. Yeah. Very, very cool stuff. National Parents Day Off Day is tomorrow. Yes.
What?
Yes, I am all about that one. National Parents Day Off Day tomorrow. There
on
you
a
go.
Saturday. Wow.
I know. This is where you call up whoever will take the kids, mom and dad, and you're like, peace out, we're going to have a day, and you're
later.
In charge. It's parents' day off. Maybe this is where you get a family member, maybe if you're lucky enough to have grandmas and grandpas around or available who can maybe look after the kids. You know, if you've got those people in your life, they're always suckers for cute little faces. They'll help you out if they can.
And count your blessings, because I know you can agree with me. Sometimes when you're trying to, in fact, we're going through this now. We've got some road trips that are coming up, and you know, with the two dogs and the teenager, I mean, it's kind of hard
rough.
To organize time alone and time away and all that stuff.
Peace out tomorrow, mom and dad, if you can
enjoy.
Make it happen. It is also World First Aid Day tomorrow. I feel like that's an important one. I feel everybody should know a little first aid to help out in a bit of a crisis. Then National Coloring Day is also tomorrow. I love a good coloring book. Not the adult version. I still like my good old kids coloring books. They're still fun. Now, we've got a few food ones on the list. Eat a Hoagie Day is also tomorrow. And National Cream-Filled Donut Day is also tomorrow. I say enjoy them together. I mean, what more can you ask? asked for. That sounds absolutely amazing on a Saturday. Then as we look ahead to Sunday, it is Google.com day. Now I'm going to guess either this is just some random day that somebody's made up, or there we go. It's the most visited website in the world, obviously, receives billions of requests each day, and it will be celebrated on September 15th. And it was a day that started basically, I think, just to celebrate Google. It doesn't look like it has any real significance behind it, other than the fact that we need to give Google more notoriety than it already gets on a daily basis.
Like it needs it.
Right? Exactly. It's also Make a Hat Day. All right. I think I'll pass. But if you're really bored, you can give that one a try. It is also, there's a bunch of them. National Neighborhood Day is on Sunday. National Wife Appreciation Day is also on Sunday. That's kind of a big one. And it is also National Women's Friendship Day. National Thank You Note Day. If there's been some that you've forgotten to write, or maybe you've been holding back a little bit, probably good to get those done. And then we have a good few food ones on the list. A lot of F's there. That didn't come out right. A few food ones on the list for Sunday. National Brunch Day, simply because, well, who doesn't love a good brunch? Throw in the mimosa. I think it's a great day.
Good to go.
National Cheese Toast Day. Isn't that essentially a grilled cheese? I mean, essentially. Yeah. I say have a grilled cheese. Celebrate however you want. National Double Cheeseburger Day is also on Sunday, which sounds amazing. And National Linguine Day, if you're into a little pasta and maybe a little Italian later on, is also on the calendar. So a few good things that we can celebrate this weekend. Now, coming up, we're going to take a detailed look at your forecast, Vin. We're going to hang out in the mid-80s for a good portion of this weekend. And Corey Hartman's actually going to tell us more about that in just a moment. We're going to have a quick look at sports. And Chris Hobble, our Packers expert, is standing by. He is going to join us in just moments. And as we talk a little bit about the Packers and the Indianapolis Colts, Sunday afternoon football at Lambeau Field. It's actually the home opener, so it should be a really fun, electric atmosphere. Chris and I will get into that in just moments. Hanging with Hobble coming up here on Max FM.
Today's Max FM Big Deal of the Day. 50% savings at Jay's Pub and Grill in Reedsburg. Experience the heart of Wisconsin at this beloved eatery featuring a family-friendly vibe, a traditional Friday fish fry, and locally produced wines and craft beers. Enjoy a delicious lunch with options like wraps, Angus burgers, and salads, or savor a hearty dinner featuring steaks, seafood, and pasta. Go to maxfmbigdeals.com and purchase $25 gift certificates for just $12.50. Today only at Max FM Big Deals.
The sounds of polka music and clinking beer steins will ring Saturday, September 21st as the Baraboo Area Chamber of Commerce presents Oktoberfest at Circus World. Local beer, live music, and pub games will entertain from 3 until 9. Instrumental funk band The Blue Olives are the headliners. Buy admission buttons for $10 in advance at the chamber office or $12 at the door on Saturday, September 21st at Circus World. For information, visit OktoberfestBaraboo.com.
Time for sports on Max FM. It's brought to you by Napa Auto Parts.
Get the good stuff.
Get the good stuff from Napa in Baraboo and Portage. This is Napa John. Napa tools and parts are second to none. We've got hard-to-find parts for everyday use, from the smallest wrench to the biggest hoist. Napa has over 300,000 parts in stock every day. No matter the job, if you're a hardcore mechanic or a do-it-yourselfer, we've got the parts you need. Watch for our quarterly sales flyers, and for your peace of mind, buy your tools and parts from Napa in Baraboo and Portage.
Get the good stuff!
The Packers are getting ready for their home opener on Sunday against the Colts. I'm Bill Scott with sports. Defense looking to improve from their week one showing, but will have to contain mobile quarterback Anthony Richardson. Packers safety Javon Bullard.
Anytime you got a scrambling quarterback, anytime a quarterback can extend plays with his legs, that stretches the defense. You know, that's one more hat we have to account for that can carry the ball, like I said. And both of those guys are exceptional athletes. Those guys can extend plays, as we've seen last week with Jalen Hurts. They can extend plays and make plays when plays aren't even there.
Kick time set for noon on Sunday. Week 2 of the NFL season kicked off last night with a 31-10 Buffalo victory over Miami. Badgers are heavy underdogs in their matchup with 4th-ranked Alabama tomorrow. Wisconsin 15.5-point dogs as they look to pull off the upset. Brewers took 2 or 3 from the Giants, winning 3-0 last night. Jackson Chourio belted his 20th home run of the season in the Brewer victory. Bill Scott, Wisconsin Radio Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today, a high near 83. For tonight, mostly cloudy, lows around 62. Winds will be out of the east at about 10 to 15 miles per hour. For Saturday, mostly cloudy, highs around 84. Saturday night, showers and storms, and a low around 62. Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce is perfect for grilling anytime. GrandpaBBQShop.com.
Currently 59 degrees.
99.7 Max FM. It's 8:38 right now, and it is time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, is going to join me in just moments as we talk about the Packers and the Colts this Sunday at Lambeau Field. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM, brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm.
From small-town businesses to large multi-state operations, Tricor Insurance and Auto Owners Insurance have industry expertise that can cover all types of businesses.
Having an insurance agency that understands our business is a real benefit. They know our people. It's something Tricor does really well.
Tricor's in-depth knowledge of insurance, regulation, compliance, and safety consulting is here to help your business succeed. Working with leading insurance companies like Auto Owners Insurance, they'll be there when you need them most. Visit TricorInsurance.com to learn more about Tricor Insurance Cycle of Care.
This is the time of year for a scenic drive to Oakwood Fruit Farm. Apples are everywhere, including McIntosh, Cortland, and Honeycrisp, and other varieties for cooking and eating. Come pick your own grapes and enjoy fresh apple cider, homemade caramel apples, take and bake pies, apple cider donuts, fall mums, and so much more. Every Tuesday, you can get 10% off all apple purchases. Open 9 to 5, 7 days a week. Oakwood Fruit Farm, located south of Ithaca on Apple Ridge Road. Just follow the signs.
Oakwood Fruit Farms, that's the one for family.
It is time for Hanging with Hovel here on Max FM. Chris Hovel, our Packers expert, joins us for a sixth NFL season. He is a two-time national best-selling author who has covered the Packers since before Brett Favre's first start, then as a sports columnist at the Green Bay Press-Gazette, and now he is in his 24th season as host of Sportsline 4 to 6 afternoons on WDUZ The Fan. Hanging with Hovel on Max FM is brought to you by Tricor Insurance and Oakwood Fruit Farm. Happy Friday, Chris, and good morning. How are you today?
Well, Maddie, I'm doing excellent. It's a Packer weekend, the home opener, and it's fall in full swing, so I'm pretty excited.
Should be a good time at Lambeau Field on Sunday. So let's talk about the big Jordan Love-less elephant in the room. Because Matt LaFleur, I don't know if he was playing some Jedi mind tricks on us this week or if they really thought there was a chance that Jordan Love could go. He made it pretty clear that they are not going to put him on IR, which is a good indicator that this knee sprain probably not going to hold him out the entire 4 weeks. Or at least maybe that's the hope, right? Maybe it's some wishful thinking on the part of the team, but obviously we're probably not going to see Jordan Love on the field on Sunday, no matter what Matt LaFleur tried to wish upon us this week.
Well, I guess any chance you can take an edge if you can see it. I mean, he has no reason to divulge that, and right. The fact that they didn't put him on IR, sure, he's fair game. He could play in another universe, but he's not going to on Sunday, but that's fine if LaFleur wants to do that. Maybe it gives Malik Willis a little source of comfort to think, maybe I won't have to be in that huddle in the first drive. No, I think Malik Willis is up for the challenge.
Yes.
Got to play a little game with you, and I don't know if you've done this with Max or not, but we've been doing it over on the Fan a little bit in Green Bay. Try to guess Malik Willis's attempts, completions, passing yards, touchdowns, picks, and then the rushing yards to boot. And I have to say, I came up with an incredibly modest, by Packers quarterback standards, stat line. On the other hand, I think it's probably fairly optimistic in Willis's case. I got something like 16 of 27, a buck 13, a touchdown, a pick, 6 carries, 48 yards, and another rushing touchdown in a narrow, narrow defeat.
Oh, okay. All right. See, and we have not gone that far. In fact, I'm not even sure I've talked to my kid this week, to be quite honest. He's a little busy, but I honestly, we'll get to predictions here at the end, but I don't know much about Malik Willis. I'm going to be honest. And I don't think the world knows much about Malik Willis. The one thing that I guess it keeps sticking out in the back of my mind, and you and I talked about this on Friday, was something that, or on Monday, I should say, was something that Max had said. If, you know, he was really great, and the Titans really chose to, you know, trade him versus Will Levis, which we've seen Will Levis play, he's like, what does that say about Malik Willis's skills? And so that kind of keeps sticking in the back of my mind, although I'm trying to be as optimistic as possible. But I agree, I feel like it's a narrow defeat at home for the Green Bay Packers. But let's talk a little bit about this, because there are some reasons for optimism, I also think, this week. All right, so let's start with one of the big ones. The Packers Rams' run game was actually second last week in EPA, which is expected points added. That was in week one. And Indy just actually gave up 200-plus yards on the ground. They're not a great defense so far against the run. I mean, sample size is small. We're only going into week two. But so far, we haven't seen anything that you would be like, oh, you know, maybe they may, oh, they're going to give Josh Jacobs a run for his money. They haven't really done that quite yet. And they've got a lot of big frontline defensive guys who haven't practiced all week, and it's looking pretty precarious that they're actually going to be in the game on Sunday. So let's start there. Packers run game versus their D-line.
It's really an interesting case study because the fact of the matter is the Colts secondary, at least on paper, and with Juju Brents out the corner, that's the weakness. And common sense would say, boy, you got to attack through the air with the receivers you have and the passing game and all of that. If it was just, you know, business as usual with Jordan Love, the run game got gashed by Joe Mixon. He had a career day. And but see, part of that, though, and I know you know this, but sometimes listeners forget a little bit, C.J. Stroud, just by the fact of who he is, gets defenders to back off a little bit. And you have to be wary and pay attention in the passing game or you're going to get gashed.
Malik Willis isn't going to get that.
And that's the question right there. How do you get them to not stack the box? How do you get them not to load up and dare you to throw it? Well, you've got to hit some passes downfield, even intermediate passes. And I think one of the things that's a true test of the quarterback – first, can they complete passes downfield? And as a young quarterback, you don't really care if it's out of the pocket, in the pocket, wherever. Just can they do it? But then the more advanced quarterbacks, can you really be a true pocket passer? And people say, well, if you've got all that speed, who cares? Well, the reality is defenses will force you to have to throw out of the pocket. It's kind of like what Jaire Alexander, other DBs through the years have said. I mean, this may go way back, where we wanted Mitch Trubisky to play quarterback. We wanted to make Jalen Hurts play quarterback. That might seem like a shot on those guys, but I think that's, you know, the Packers are going to be facing some of that with Malik Willis now. They're going to make him try to play quarterback. We'll see if he can.
Now, here's the thing, though. If you go way back into the Packers' vault of history and Jordan Love's trajectory to starter, he actually attempted 34 passes in that very first career start at Arrowhead, which was a short week. Remember, that was, I know you remember, but for anybody who forgets, that was the week that Rodgers came down with COVID. We didn't find out until, what, like Thursday? Late Wednesday, early Thursday that Rodgers...
Wednesday. I mean, the team might have known a day before, but we didn't,
Right, exactly. And Jordan Love was able to keep that as a close game throughout, mostly because of a game, maybe because of LaFleur, maybe because of Jordan Love's skills. I still don't feel like that was a great game plan for Jordan Love in that game. However, it stayed a really close game, right? Now, I don't expect Sunday in just some, I don't expect Matt LaFleur to be like, oh, let's try 10 to 15 passes. I don't see Matt LaFleur doing that. I don't see him making that type of game plan for Malik Willis, because he doesn't roll like that. I feel like he's going to give the guy some chances, whether it's those intermediate passes, whether it's short little screens, whether they want to just see what his arm's got, what they've got in his arm. I have no idea. But I feel like Matt LaFleur, being who he is and what we've seen him be able to do game plan wise, because you and I have both said it over the years, he is literally the best coach that I would want in this situation. We've seen him in situations where, then in other games when he's got his full arsenal, you're like, dude, what are you doing?
I know the times when he couldn't figure out really how to use Aaron Jones in the red zone, but yet other times when back to the wall, although coaches throughout the league, you'll see that there were times, I mean, the great example is when Tom Rossley and the Packers had their best game ever with Mike Sherman against the Ravens defense, when they just altered the game plan altogether and spread it out with a ton of receivers and forced them to take linebackers off the field. You made a good point with Jordan Love in that start in Kansas City. And the takeaway for me on that game, and I went back to look at it more to see what Love's stats were and just kind of get a feel for that. But in the process of that, I was reminded of something that Matt LaFleur said, and I hope he is reminded of his own words this week. He said, the mistake I made, and this was a timing issue partly, was I tried to put Jordan Love into the game plan designed for Aaron Rodgers instead of accommodating the backup quarterback. And, gee, I wonder who would have pushed back against that anyway. But what matters is LaFleur said, that was my mistake, my bad, and I should have actually tailored the game plan, even though on short notice, maybe more because on short notice. Should have gone that way with Jordan Love. So now fast forward to what we're looking at Sunday against the Colts. I got to believe Matt LaFleur isn't going to try to make this offense look like it's Jordan Love, but just a right. little shorter, a little stouter, a whole lot faster kind of guy.
Right.
It's going to be something, I think, tailored to some sprint option, to some reverse action a little bit, jet sweeps, heavy on some of that. And they are not going to be afraid to run Malik Willis like you'd be cautionary with Jordan Love. That's just not the case. So that part gives me hope. And the timing of this too, Maddie, you know, people say, and Green Bay, you get these texts and tweets and about oh, you're home or how will this. Well, the fact is the timing, as bad as it is to lose Jordan Love anytime, better with three plays to go in the last game than three plays into the Colts game.
Agreed.
Because if you're three plays into Sunday's home opener,
it looks a lot like what happened last night between the Bills and Miami when Tua went out.
Very much so.
You know, you're going to basically have a quarterback who's out of sorts. And getting on that plane, let's be honest, last Friday night, early Saturday morning after that game in Brazil, everybody pretty much knew that Jordan Love, everybody was hoping for the best. And I think the news that came out that was a grade one or two sprain was the best news the team could have gotten and fans of the team could have gotten. But everybody pretty much knew. There's not one. If you didn't honestly think he was going to miss some time, you were living under a rock. And everybody was hopeful, and I think we got the best possible outcome out of that scenario. But I think everybody pretty much knew.
If I was any kind of a cartoonist, I'd have the flight back from Brazil, and I'd have the panel where, you know, the Packers' great concern for their quarterback, and you'd have everybody, the medical staff, huddled around Jordan Love. The Packers' great concern for the quarterback. Everybody else would be huddled around Malik Willis getting ready for the Colts.
I just wanted somebody to carry his bag down the steps. The dude was limping. It was banging into his knee, and I'm like, one of the big guys. Come on. You bench what this guy weighs. Take his bag for him down the steps off the plane.
I mean, rookies only carry donuts into the meeting rooms? Come on, they didn't carry other stuff.
It was a really weird moment to me, and I was like, somebody could have taken the dude's bag trying to get down those airplane steps. At any rate, one of the other big things that I think to be optimistic about going into this game is the fact that as we talk about Malik Willis as the quarterback, he's got a really deep wide receiver room at his disposal. And as you mentioned, the CB group for the Colts, they are really banged up. They've just put one of their best corners on IR this week. He is out for the rest of the season, and you don't really know what you have lying underneath of that. It was one of the weaker groups of the team anyway, as far as the Colts defense goes. But now you've got a really deep wide receiver room. You've got guys who are hungry, as they like to say in Green Bay, they all think they're number one. So hopefully they're getting this message, and they're going to put themselves in the best possible spot and be able to create some of that separation so that Malik Willis has got some open targets out there on the field. We also heard Stenovich talk this week a little bit about the tight end situation, where the snap discrepancy that we've seen between Tucker Kraft and Luke Musgrave in Brazil is not to the team's liking. That did not seem like the intended purpose, and it just kind of felt like it happened. I'm not really sure what the game plan there was. I'm not really sure what he was alluding to when he talked this week to the press. But it feels like you're going to have maybe a little bit more of a diverse set of players out on the field, or maybe a few more options even for Malik Willis as quarterback.
You know, I would say that this game and the situation with Malik Willis begs for double tight end. Because of the additional blocker, the fact that tight ends generally are the lifeline, fairly easy completions, even for a guy who may not have the greatest accuracy.
Right.
So there's that. The rub with that, and this is why I think there's going to be some searching fire early on to try to figure out how to proceed in the game. That's all good with the double tight end and everything, but at the end of the day, you still have to back them off the line.
Yeah.
And how do you get them off the line? There are two ways. You can go vertical. You can try to get Watson and some guys, Bo Melton perhaps, behind him and hit on a big play or two that way and back him off. Or you can attack horizontally. And I think that's the way I would go, where a lot of jet sweeps, Jaden Reed with some of that action, get some of that established.
Good.
But always with Malik Willis, the ball in his hands, because, you know, it doesn't have to be Malik Willis's arm that gets the Colts to back off and kind of on their cleats. It could be his legs and that speed.
Agreed.
And if you hit a seam or two, guess what? Now all that action, and now you start banging away with Josh Jacobs behind it. I mean, it all sounds great when you and I are talking over coffee on a Friday morning.
We'll see how it all plays out on the field
see how it plays out. But you know what I'm saying, though? The vertical versus horizontal, I need a little of both. But sideline to sideline, spread them out, get them running, and then – hit the gap and go.
There's a pretty good chance that they may, and we'll find out later today, but so far, DeForest Buckner, Justin Blackmon, and Kweety Paye have not been in any sort of practice yet this week. And that obviously, I mean, you want to compete against a team at full arsenal, but if you're a young Malik Willis who's just stepping into this game for Jordan Love, you want all the help you can get. And having at least one, maybe two of those guys out, if three of them don't go, that really changes the Colts' defensive scheme and what Gus Bradley is able to do. And let's face it, Gus Bradley, he's really good at his job, has been for a really long time, right? But he is a pretty static defensive coordinator. He's not huge on disguise. He's not really big on the exotic pressure looks that you get from a lot of teams. He's not really moving a lot of guys around and putting them. You pretty much know what you got when they line up with Gus Bradley's defense. And LaFleur and Malik Willis, who, by the way, this is also why I think there's hope for optimism. Malik Willis is very familiar with this Indianapolis team. Twice a year, he had to play them when he was with Tennessee, or at least game plan for them.
You know, and see the film and do all that, even if not get on the field. I will say this with Gus Bradley, it kind of cuts both ways. On one hand, he could be the worst coordinator to go against because if they're incredibly disciplined, they may just wait it out and say, we don't have to confuse Malik Willis because he's confused himself and we'll just wait for him to make the mistakes versus trying to draw this exotic stuff to try to counter an Aaron Rodgers great mind or whatever. So
I don't want to be mistaken. They are a stout defense, but he's not doing the Vic Fangio stuff, right? Like they saw against the Eagles. He's not going to be doing that. So if Malik Willis can dissect what he's seeing, and he's seen it on tape before, it is what he's going to get pretty much with Bradley. Where with Fangio, you can see it on tape, but that doesn't mean at all what Fangio's players are going to do.
At all. You know, some things too that give me hope with Willis. One is that the acknowledgement that he was ill-prepared to start as a rookie. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you have no choice. And I was thinking about this, Maddie, maybe getting behind an 18-wheeler and having to drive a semi for the first time and realizing I'm ill-prepared or flying a plane. But playing quarterback in the NFL, when you know in the back of your mind, I really am not quite if your voice doesn't crack while you're calling out the first signals, you know. But at least he understands that now. And then the other thing, because he has played, and I know it's not a lot of experience for Malik Willis, Matt LaFleur said something about how we're going to try to really give him what he likes to do. Well, you know what? When you're starting as a rookie, I don't know what I like. I mean, I'll try all the food, I suppose, and I'll spit out what I don't, but it's all trial and error where at least now he does have a little bit of a perspective where he can say to the coach, these things I do like, this I don't necessarily, where before you tell me, coach, you know?
Right. No, absolutely. Now, one of the other reasons I have optimism this week, and let's shift to, because obviously there's going to be a lot of attention given to Malik Willis going into this game and how the offense is going to operate. But one of the other things that I have hope for in this game is the defense. For a lot of fans, this one, I think, after the Eagles game cut both ways. There were a lot of fans that I think hoped that they were going to come out and see this defense that was all of a sudden really tough, and they weren't going to give up a lot of yards, and they weren't going to let the running game get to them. Saquon Barkley torched them. But he does that to a lot of teams, right? I mean, that's not really anything new with Saquon Barkley. You know what you get.
Those Eagles are going to gash teams with the run game all season long.
And I feel like there was a lot of attention given to Jalen Hurts, and then there were some areas that maybe, I don't want to say didn't get attention, but obviously, there was less maybe focus, or there was less, I don't know what the right word would even be, because obviously you focus as a defense on all of it. But Jalen Hurts was obviously the centerpiece, right? That was pretty much clear. And aside from one play, the Eagles weren't really able to attack the Green Bay defense deep. Thank you very much, McKinney and Bullard, because if you watch tape back from that game, that could be a special duo, Chris.
No doubt. Bullard covers a ton of ground.
Yes, he does.
With McKinney back there, ball hawking and leading the thing, it's really, really promising that way. And if you put those guys on the back end on a field that actually isn't slippery as it could be. Because how do you generate a pass rush when the surface is that slippery?
Over. There were a lot of plays, if you watch back.
It's the same for both, but still.
Yeah. Well, if you watch back, too, there were a lot of plays where McKinney was actually in the right spot, but then he slid or he slipped, and then all of a sudden he wasn't, and the ball, the receiver was wide open because he was too busy trying to get his footing back. So these are important nuances, and I get, again, both teams had the same nuances, but let's remember that was not as far out of reach of a game as people might think it was. The only way,
defensively.
Though,
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
Okay, and this kind of was a sarcastic response, but the more I thought about it, I kind of liked it. All right, so Quay Walker's got the groin injury.
Oh, thank
and
goodness.
There's been maybe, you know, how much he can play, this, that, whatever. And I kind of envisioned this meeting between Jeff Hafley and
right?
Clay Walker where Haf says, hey, we're going to take the green dot from you. The green dot? Well, I can talk fine. It's my groin. My
right?
throat's fine. well, yeah. We're still going to take the green dot from you. Edgerrin Cooper, I'm not so sure if he wasn't drafted not to pair with Clay Walker but eventually replace.
And I'm starting to wonder that after last week. And I made the bold assumption that by the end of this year, Quay Walker might be on the special teams, only because of the burst that we saw from Edgerrin Cooper right away. If you're not excited about the kid, you need to get excited about him because he is fast. He's got really good instincts. He knows how to wrap up a tackle like nobody's business, which is far more than I can say for a lot of the defense last week. So I'm very excited about him. And obviously, the short playing time that he had impressed his coaches because Matt LaFleur made a point to say that, yes, he deserves more playing time. Hafley at the podium this week made a point to say, yeah, we've got to play Edgerrin Cooper. I mean, so obviously they've already taken notice of what he is capable of doing as well. And Hafley went as far as to say that this is a quote, the team is counting on him to be a really, really good player this year. I guess what does that tell you about maybe where they see him versus Quay Walker at this given moment? Not to say that a little competition won't be good and maybe Walker'd figure it out a little bit more, but I think the writing's starting to, at this point, be a little apparent on the wall as far as where they see him. And honestly, I mean, Indy really was only able to score on the Texans because of their deep, because of Anthony Richardson's deep ball. I mean, that was pretty obvious. So I feel like if they can get a little pressure on Richardson, kind of knock him off his game, and let's face it, he didn't have great stats. I mean, the things that are being talked about against that Texans game is what like that 54-yard touchdown or whatever it was, or throw that he had. I mean,
yeah, he had a 60-yard in the air plus throw to Alec Pierce for the bomb, and Pierce is a one-trick pony.